More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, no thank you. Are you struggling to say no or get others to respect your boundaries? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak,
and you are listening. Lisa Popchak.
And you are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome. And today's show is titled No Thank You, as we talk about the challenges to know when and how to say no, whether it's okay to say no, at times when you've tried to set boundaries with people. I mean, when I say saying no, I don't just mean those times when somebody asks you to do something and you're, you know, conflicted about saying no. I'm also talking about those times when people are maybe mean to you, or they are stepping all over your toes.
They're using you in some way, or trying to. But often, when we have to make a decision about letting somebody through our boundaries, saying yes to what they're requesting of us, or assuming they can get from us, we don't realize how much we're being manipulated, either by our own sense of who we should be as Christians, or as, you know, adult children, or as parents, or as friends, or as spouses, that I should be this person and be generous. I should be willing to do things in this relationship. And we don't realize that we're really just kind of saying yes or going along because of that person's role in our life, or the way they've set something up, especially if they're, you know, a manipulative person in some way. But Christ really asks us to pause and assess in relationship before we just give a blanket yes and go along with things.
So really there are two areas where this applies, right? The first one is where, you know, people innocently and ask you, you know, hey, can you do this? And you want to be generous, but you also know that it would be difficult to do that thing, and you're not sure if it's okay to say no, but you're not sure how you'd fit it in, and that sort of thing. Then the other way this show applies is where people are taking advantage, you know, either because they are being unkind in some way or disrespectful and refusing to accept the boundary that you've put up, or they are taking advantage or using you in some way. And those are even more difficult, because those people are usually pretty good at being manipulative, and we're not as good at setting those boundaries.
And sometimes that assumption on their part, or even manipulation on their part, is longer standing. You know, our family has always done it this way, and you're just expected to go along with it still, even though everything about the relationship has changed. You've matured. Perhaps you have your own life now, and they just expect the same level of, we're just doing it this way because it's always been this way and our word is law, that you've had since you were a child, or, you know, didn't have the responsibilities that you have now as an adult, or just other preferences. We're allowed to have those as well. So sometimes it's because we've always done something somehow. And suddenly we're saying, wait a minute, this just doesn't work for me, or this doesn't feel right, or perhaps this is toxic, and I need to figure out how to do this differently. but we're very caught up in the fear of how they're going to react and what it's going to do to the relationships. So setting boundaries sounds so cut and dry, but often it's very complicated in our heads and our hearts, and we're not sure how to do it, if we should do it, and how to survive what it may cause in our relationships.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Whether, you know, you're just struggling with someone's innocent request to help with this or do that, and you're not sure how to respond, or someone's stepping all over you, and you've tried to set boundaries, and it's not working very well. Let's work it out together. 877-573-7825. Call up and tell us, do you have a hard time knowing when or how it's okay to say no? Maybe you're wondering, how to set those limits with people, or when you have, they try to wear you down or simply ignore your boundaries. You know, we all want to be generous to others, but sometimes we do have to put our foot down, and we have the right to do that. Surprise, surprise, right? But if you're struggling to know when and how to say no gracefully, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
And I just want to offer the invitation. I said this yesterday. Wednesday, we did a show on dealing with narcissists. And we are still getting questions via email and things like that. The phone lines were so full, we couldn't take everyone. And I will invite those people who didn't get through on Wednesday. Again, it's nobody harder to say no to than somebody who is narcissistic or selfish in our lives. They know how to wear us down. They know how to manipulate us into going along with them, even if it's very toxic for us, even if it diminishes us, even if it gives them all the power. So whether you're just dealing with normal boundaries as you progress in life and become who God is calling you to be, or you're dealing with somebody who's truly selfish or toxic in some way, and it's so knotted up that other than doing a novena to Our Lady on Tire of Knots, you don't know what in the world to do. We're here to help you find those steps and get to a happier, healthier, and holier place today. On More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what that is exactly, St. John Paul made a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that provided a lens, enabling us to see really all of salvation history and how it reveals God's plan for living a more abundant life and having a healthier, having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that our decision, it's a decision to say yes or no to someone, shouldn't be based on how we feel in the moment or how much someone is pressuring us, but rather on what we prayerfully believe allows us to work for the other person's ultimate good, our ultimate good, and the ultimate good of the relationship. We often feel guilty saying no because our no's tend to be based on what we're feeling in the moment rather than in what we genuinely, objectively, and prayerfully believe is in the best interest of everyone involved. This is especially true when we feel pressured by others. The theology of the body reminds us that while we are called to be generous, it's possible to be generous in ways that are bad for us or for others. When that's the case, it's even more generous to say no. Our job as Christians is not to be indiscriminately generous, but rather to be generous in ways that are truly loving and responsible.
When someone's asking something of us, you know, especially when they're pressuring us, the question to ask ourselves isn't, do I feel like doing this or not? Or even, would they be upset with me or not? But rather, Is there a way to say yes to this request that's truly good for both the other person and me? And if the answer to the question is yes, well, then I can say yes. But if the answer is no, then I need to say no, regardless of how I feel about it or how upset they might get. Because in either case, my yes or no isn't based on emotions that can change or be manipulated. It's based on my thoughtful and prayerful belief that something is, or isn't, objectively good for the other person and for me. And that approach gives me an objective way to decide whether to say yes or no. I can stand firm on my decisions then, and not be pressured to do things that I shouldn't. Generosity isn't actually generous, unless it is prayerful, intentional, responsible, and ordered to the mutual good of everyone involved. So let's talk about it. How does that apply in the situation you're thinking about right now, where that person has either, you know, innocently asked you to help with something, and you're not really able to do it, but you're not sure how to say no, or if it's somebody who's really taking advantage, or being unkind, and stepping all over the boundaries you've tried to set? Let's help you figure out how to manage those situations gracefully at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all those situations where we're struggling to know how to let our yes be yes or our no be no. Or those times when we've said no, and the other person just kind of wears us down or makes us feel guilty. We don't know how to be clear about our decisions often, and we can often allow ourselves to be manipulated. Help us, in the face of these situations, to always choose whatever response works for the ultimate good of the other person, ourselves, and our relationship with them, so that in all things we can, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, be both loving and responsible, and build your kingdom in all of these exchanges by being clear about what our yes and our no should be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the show is titled No, Thank You, as we talk about the struggle to say no. You know, how do we do it? Is it okay to do it? How, you know, when we do it and people don't listen, what do we do then? It's complicated, but let's talk it out and help you get clarity. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to Mortal Life. What's going on?
Hi, my husband and I are planning a trip, and I want to include my mother, and he doesn't, and I just can't make the trip without her.
Why is that?
Because the destination is in the town where her sister lives, and we're going to see my cousin's children in a production, and my mom would just so love to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't enjoy it if she wasn't included.
So, and what's your husband's issue there? What's his concern that he's...
We had a brief time that we lived with my mom, and he had a couple of problems with my mom. And he says, he doesn't say that's the reason, but he says he wants to take an extended vacation, and so we couldn't take her on the extended part. But he's not planning a vacation. He's not making a plan, you know. So I know that's just an excuse.
I feel like you guys aren't really talking directly about this,
or I mean, praying about it at all.
Yeah, let's even back up there. So, I mean, are you guys able to pray together about things like this, or is that not something that you do?
Not typically, no.
Is that something you could do? Is what I guess I'm asking.
I could pray, and I could pray aloud, and he would sit through that, you know, but he wouldn't contribute. Like, mm-hmm. even to say what for me to ask for or bring to the Lord.
Okay. And second question, and then I'll throw out some thoughts here. Let's take it off this particular issue. If you had any other situation where you guys disagreed about something, would he, is he capable of kind of hearing your side of things and being able to say, you know, there, even though I don't, you know, I don't share that concern, or, you know, I don't feel the same way, I can really see where you're coming from in that, and then you guys be able to work together to come up with a solution? Or is it more, you know, one of you has to win or lose?
He'll sometimes rather just give in to me rather than have a pros and cons type of discussion.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, in terms of this particular issue, I'm going to, you know, just zero in on the particular problem and then also offer some general things with the larger dynamic here. You know, you can't really resolve this issue unless you're being honest with each other. And, you know, because ultimately what's going to happen is the same thing that happens before. Like, if you press this, he'll probably just give in and, you know, do what you tell him to do.
But that doesn't mean that he's not going to be harboring all sorts of sorrow or anger or resentment if he just gives in. And when that stuff starts to pile up over years of marriage, it's not good.
So I would actually start with that. I would say, look, you know, our dynamic is usually, you know, when we start out like this, if I press hard enough, I know that I can get you to give in. I don't really want to do that, right? I'd like to actually talk through this and find a way for us to come up with a solution. And, you know, help me understand what your issue is exactly with bringing my mom along. You know, is it that, you know, you have these problems and we haven't resolved those problems and we need to talk about a way to make sure that those past problems don't affect this trip? Or, you know, if you're saying that it's, well, I want to have a more extended vacation, how come you're not making any plans on this? I really need to understand where you're coming from. Don't make it accusatory. Make it really, you know, exploratory. I'm interested in...
He truly might just want time with his wife doing something that's not the ordinary day-to-day.
In which case, you guys could talk about maybe a different trip, that even a, you know, a local trip or something, that where the two of you could get some time together. And you might even float that and say, look, if what you're saying is you'd like just time with me, you know, I would like that too, and let's make a separate plan for that. But if it's, you know, that you're upset with my mom and you don't want to spend that time with her, let's talk about how we could take care of each other and make that a little bit more pleasant for all of us. But let's not just, you know, go back and forth and polarize this. Do we bring her or don't we bring her? And then, you know, I eventually wear you down and you just do what I tell you to do because, you know, you don't want to fight.
And then you'll spend the entire trip miserable with each other and side-eyeing each other because neither one of you is really getting your needs met.
So that's how to address this particular thing. That said, my concern is that this is, I think, an invitation from the Holy Spirit to have a better relationship overall. Right, you guys have sort of settled into a place where it's fine. You have a fine relationship, but it's not a good one. It's not one where either of you really feels heard by the other or knows how to communicate your needs in a way that you know, really helps you feel closer to each other. You know, and this is the kind of thing that I would suggest a marriage encounter weekend would actually be really helpful for, because the kinds of things that you're talking about, they have a really good exercise called the dialogue exercise that can really help couples learn to communicate more effectively. By really learning to hear what each other is saying and respond to that as opposed to just reacting to what each other is saying. So, I mean, I would really encourage you to look into a marriage encounter weekend to learn that dialogue exercise. I would also potentially encourage you to consider a few sessions of marital counseling, just to work through this long-standing unhealthy communication dynamic that you guys have going on. Because again, you can. You know, kind of lumber along the way you are, but neither one of you is going to be happy.
You know, God wants a lot more for us in marriage than that. You know, it's a sacrament. It should be wonderful. It should be life-giving, and not just in the we had children together kind of way, but in a way that enlivens and gives life to both of your souls.
Like, I'm even, you know, even what you said about prayer, you know, he'll sit there while you pray, you know, in front of him, but he won't participate. Again, I mean, okay, fine. You know, that's better than him being antagonistic, but it's not where you want to be.
No,
you know,
and
why,
I can hear it in your voice when you talk about it. So there are all these little things that because you don't really work on communicating well together, that you're both harboring these little resentments. He won't pray with you. You know, want your mom along. All these little things that are adding up. They're little rocks in the yard, and suddenly the yard just becomes, you know, littered with rock, and it becomes a lot to take care of. Let's get them out a little bit at a time here so that you're both rejoicing in this marriage.
All right. Well, you've got some tips for handling the specific situation. We've offered some suggestions for the broader marital issue. I'm going to leave you also with one more recommendation, our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But Barbara, I hope that you'll accept this invitation to take your relationship to a deeper level, not just resolve this issue about the trip, but really start working to have the marriage that God wants you to have. And be that prophetic woman of God that's calling your husband and your relationship onto a holier place. Thanks for the call. We got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about setting boundaries and saying no on our show titled No Thank You. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll be talking with you, and we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. He'll be sharing some reflections on setting boundaries when we come back in just a minute.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled No Thank You, as we talk about the struggle to say no and to set boundaries and get other people to respect those boundaries, especially when they don't want to. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, and she's here to talk to us about how to set effective boundaries. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
Well, you shared that you have three P's, actually, that you turn to know how to set effective boundaries. Tell us about them.
Well, there are three P's that Matt and I bring up in our lives when it comes to setting boundaries with family, friends, church situations, social situations. And the first is, you have permission to say no. Christ himself gives us that. In Matthew 5:37, let your yes mean yes and your no means no. As a family, you have the right and the almost obligation to protect your family from those people who would cause you harm, whether it's emotional harm or social harm. So feel free to say no to people who are intruding in the joy and the peace of your family. The second thing is to pray, as always. We remind you guys of this every session, every time we're together. But pray with your spouse about who is intruding in your family, who's causing the harm, where is it coming from, and how you're supposed to handle it. We talk about gatekeepers, and there's lots of different types of gates that are out there. You know, sometimes you need a great big wall around your whole house, and sometimes you need a gate where people have to ask permission when to come in that. Pray with your husband, your spouse, about what the gates in your family look like. And then third, practice it with your spouse, with a trusted friend. Tell them about the struggle that you're having, saying, can I try out what I want to say with you? And the more you practice it, the more familiar it becomes to your language. And then you can say it with real authority. Thank you so much for inviting us to this event, but we're not going to come, and this is why. And with the practice, you feel braver and stronger, and then you know you've got your spouse has your back and that you're coming as a united family.
That's so important to do, especially with people who have worn us down over years, like extended family members and things like that, just to get those words so we don't trip over ourselves. Once we've prayerfully made that decision that God has given us permission to make, I love these three P's to help guide us through setting those boundaries that we so often have to set. Thank you, Rachel Watkins. We appreciate your input so much.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, they can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn about the Little Flowers Girls Club. Rachel, thanks again for being with us.
God bless, guys.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about that struggle to say no. Whether you're saying no to the kinds of things that Rachel was just talking about, those innocent requests for help or for you to, you know, do this thing or, you know, help out with that other thing. I mean, you know, we want to be generous, but sometimes it would be inconvenient at best to do that thing. And we don't know sometimes how to say no or whether we can say no. Other times, it's somebody who's really being unkind or actually taking advantage.
Or it could be truly harmful to us or our families.
Or for that matter, you know, you've tried to say no and set a boundary and they're stepping all over you anyway. What do you do then? Well, we're talking about all the times you have to say no and how to do it gracefully and effectively. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with your questions about the challenge of setting boundaries and saying no when we come back after this break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Anxiety is such a commonplace experience that we often feel like there's something wrong with us when we aren't feeling anxious. We wonder what new threat to our security or peace we're missing. But how do you know whether you're experiencing normal garden variety stress and anxiety, or whether you're struggling with something more serious? Has anxiety become a regular part of your life? Does it impact your performance at work, or make it harder to enjoy your relationships, or prevent you from having the energy to do the things you used to enjoy? These are good signs it's time to seek professional help. People often wait years before getting appropriate counseling help, and by then the problem's been allowed to grow into something that's having a serious impact on your life, career, and relationships. Anxiety is very treatable, and a vast majority of people who seek help get better. If you're ready to win your battle against anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about saying no. When can you say no? How do you do it? And what happens when you've said no or even set a boundary and the other person just steps all over you anyway? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Don, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Don. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the topic. I'm basically calling for some advice to be able to give my wife. My wife has a sister whose daughter has basically, she's cut herself off from the family, including her own brother.
So this is your wife's niece who's kind of cut herself off from the whole family, including your niece's mother.
And the niece has instructed her mother not to say anything about her to any members of the family. So my sister-in-law is very tight-lipped, and this is my wife's goddaughter that I'm referring to. So obviously my wife over the years has been very concerned about her well-being. My sister-in-law gives her no information. But just recently, my sister-in-law has disclosed to my wife that my wife's sister is in crisis, but would not tell her what's going on. So we found out through my nephew that my niece has moved back into the house and it's basically creating havoc in the house. And I guess maybe, you know, it's got to a choking point with my sister-in-law that, but she will not disclose this to my wife. She'll call my wife up and basically cry on the phone and tell her that she's in crisis, but not give her anything to go on to be able to help her.
And Don, does this sister-in-law see a counselor at all?
Yeah, she's in therapy. What happened with my niece is from a broken marriage, and the father was,
But she has somebody to work on this with, is what we're asking.
She's in therapy, yes.
Okay. Well, and the reason we mentioned that is because, I mean, that's the most important thing. This is a very complicated situation with your wife's sister's daughter, and your wife's sister really needs professional help on knowing how to navigate this.
And to have somebody to walk her through the steps of navigating this and hold her accountable for doing those steps. So if you told me that sister-in-law does not have a therapist, that would be the first thing I would ask that your wife do, is find a couple of names and numbers for her to call and tell her to get in touch with that therapist. That being said, since she has one and your sister-in-law is not disclosing anything and your wife is really not in a position to help, basically what your sister-in-law is doing is just venting her spleen at your wife and then getting off the phone and feeling slightly better. And then your wife is carrying the whole burden with the inability to help at all.
Well, but I that's all true. But I think that so your wife needs to set some mental boundaries there so she doesn't take on the drama. But she can still be supportive to her sister and say, you know, listen, I understand you're going through a lot. I know you can't talk about it or don't want to talk about it. But let's, you know, and then just pray for her right there on the phone. You know, Lord, I wish I knew how to help my sister. I help me to be there for her. Help her to be able to take advantage of the resources that she has with her counselor and whatever's going on, and just help her to know how much I love her and help her to know how much you love her and guide her through this challenging situation. Amen. You know, and then, you know, just move on to whatever else you're talking about. Don't make it a thing, right? But to bring the Lord into the middle of the situation, because what that does is it helps center your wife's sister, your sister-in-law, in God's grace. But it also reminds your wife that it's not her job to solve this problem that her sister won't even tell her what it is, right? You know, that she has support, and that she's bringing, and your sister can bring her to the Lord and give her to the Lord until such time that her sister would like to open up more specifically with her. You know, and your wife can say, look, I understand that you don't feel free to talk about this, but I do want you to know that I'm here for you and I love you. You know, let's pray about this together. And you do that, and you listen, and then, you know, you get off the phone and you get on with your life. And that's not cold. It's all your sister-in-law is allowing her to do, right? And so it doesn't do your sister-in-law any good for your wife to burn up more emotional energy saying, oh, gosh, I wish I could help. It's not doing anything, right? So that's where you want to pray for her again. But then focus back on the things that your wife needs to do to take care of your family, right? And so at some point, you know, the sister-in-law might open up the door a little bit there, and great, then you can be more specifically helpful. But until then, this is really the best that you can do. Don, thanks so much for the call. You know, this is part of, you know, kind of accepting other people's boundaries. Sometimes, you know, we want to push in because we feel like that would be the helpful thing to do. But, you know, once we've extended that, once we've nudged a little bit against those boundaries, if those boundaries stand, we need to respect them, just like God does. You know, God wants to be in total communion with us. He doesn't want any part of us to be separated from him. But he respects our boundaries, and he lets us say, well, no, I want to handle this myself until we can't anymore. And then when we open the door and let him in, then he comes. Same thing is true here. You know, don't try to do more than even God can do. You know, be available. Let her sister know that she's there. Pray and for her, even with her, and bring that situation to God. But respect the boundary, because sometimes being a little more pushy is not helpful, but rather intrusive. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Anonymous, welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to try to keep it together. I just found out it's been about a week. I found out that my wife is cheating on me, or was cheating on me with another gentleman, of course. And, you know, right away I told her, hey, you know, we got to get help. So we went to a counselor. And we worked on it, right? So about a couple of days ago, I found out again that she was still communicating with him, not in a romantic way, but still she was keeping communication. So, you know, we spoke to our counselor again yesterday, and, you know, he helped us kind of through it. I know for a fact my wife has depression, and I told our therapist, counselor, whatever, you know, that, you know, that I wanted to focus on that, you know, because I know she's depressed, right? And that's what led her to the infidelity, right?
Yep.
But yesterday, you know, talking to her, and this is where I'm, you know, my question is, right? Setting healthy boundaries. I told her, hey, look, I think the best thing to do is to completely erase, you know, him from your phone, like, you know, take off his cell number that's on your phone, and you know, erase your WhatsApp, because that's the way that they were communicating. And she right away, like, it triggered something in her, and like, you know, I think you're being, you know, kind of controlling, you know,
you're not.
I just want to
here's, you know, you're fine in asking for it, but here's why she reacted that way. Now, so. When people call about this issue, you know, I it's funny, you've kind of, not funny, haha, but funny, ironic, that you've sort of kind of described the exact scenario that plays out all the time with infidelity. Lots of couples have problems, but when there's infidelity, I mean, almost 99.9% of the time, this is the way it plays out. It's because, you know, the reason that the person cheats isn't because there are problems in the marriage. It's because they don't know how to manage conflict, they don't know how to manage their emotions well, and they don't know how to advocate for their needs. So they get depressed. And then once they're depressed, they're looking, they don't know how to be effective enough in advocating for their emotions or their needs. So they blame the relationship. It's clearly the problem is my spouse. So I need to go find somebody who can make me happy. And they don't necessarily, you know, look for anybody, but they, you know, they find somebody who makes them laugh or makes them feel better about themselves or whatever. And then they start using that person as a drug to self-medicate for the depression that they're in. So the reason that your wife reacted the way she did when you told her to take his phone number off of her phone is because you're saying, I want you to stop taking the medication that you take for depression. Now, is that healthy? Well, of course not. But that's how she's interpreting what you're saying. And that's something that you want to follow up with your counselor. I'm so glad you have a therapist that you're working with, because I want you to bring this to your counselor and say, look, here's the situation. You know, I really believe that my wife is using this relationship to self-medicate. And she won't take the name off her phone because she's afraid that, you know, if she does, then she won't have any way to make herself feel better. You know, and you can say to your wife, look, I want to be that person for you. And I'm not sure why we haven't been able to get to that place, but I want to be that person for you. I want to be the person who can, you can come to talk through things and feel better. Let's work on what has to happen there. But basically what's going to happen until you guys can get to the place where she can feel that way about you, she's going to keep feeling that temptation to sneak around behind your back, whether she takes the number off the phone or not. That's a terrible position for you to be in. And I'm sorry that you're having to go through that. But that's really the only way forward, because you can insist that she take the number off, and you have every absolute right to do it. The problem is, even if she does, you know, she could just get a different phone. Right? Or she can message him on the computer. There are a million ways to stay in touch with somebody these days without anybody knowing about it. So the answer here is, you know, she's using this relationship as a way of self-medicating for her depression. So that needs to be addressed, and you know, she needs to learn how to turn to you to do that as well. And that's what you want to be working on with your counselor. So that's why she reacted the way she did, and that's what you want to follow up with the therapist. I'm going to also encourage you to check out my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It looks at eight research-based habits that healthy couples practice in their marriages that every couple can learn. There's a quiz in Chapter 3 that helps you go through those eight habits to learn what your strengths are, what your challenges are, and really kind of give you a map for rebuilding your relationship. I'd suggest going through it with the counselor and really seeing what it would take to help you guys open up those communication lines so that she could turn to you for that support and really feel like the relationship can provide that support that she was getting elsewhere. Again, I'm not blaming you for that, by the way. The person who cheats struggles for a lot of family of origin reasons to acknowledge their feelings, to deal with conflict, to advocate for their needs, and then they just end up blaming the other person for that. But either way, there's a lot you can do to help her with that situation. All right. Thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm so glad that you're getting appropriate help and that you're committed to the relationship. The good news is there really is hope for these marriages, even when you've gone through this, if you get the right kind of help. And so presumably you're working with a good marriage-friendly therapist who can assist you the rest of the way. But these suggestions will help point you in the right direction. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Today on More to Life, the show is titled No Thank You, as we talk about the challenge of saying no, knowing when it's okay to say no, how to say no, how to set boundaries, and how to deal with people who don't respect your no or your boundaries. What do you do when you said no or you said, please stop that, and they just keep stepping all over you anyway? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue. But first, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 37.
Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one.
You know, and we all know that verse, but it's really interesting when Jesus says anything more is from the evil one. Because what is evil? You know, evil is in the absence of the good. It's missing the mark. That's what sin, the word sin means, missing the mark. Anytime we equivocate, anytime we're not clear about our yes or our no, we're missing the mark. You know, we're not giving people the clear answers they need to know how they should behave, how they can relate to us in a healthy way, what it means to be in relationship with us. And so we're creating a lot of space for the devil to do his work.
We're actually, in some cases, creating a situation where others are nearing an occasion of sin because they don't know what's the right and appropriate way to behave in a relationship with you.
You know, so don't base your yes or your no on how you feel about it or how upset you think the other person's going to be. Do what we were talking about at the top of the show. Base your yes or no on what you genuinely believe allows you to work for their ultimate good, your ultimate good, and the ultimate good of the relationship. And if you have that criteria, you can be confident about saying yes or no, and not give the devil the wiggle room that he needs to make your relationships confused, resentful, and chaotic. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about boundaries on our show titled No Thank You, as we talk about saying no and setting boundaries gracefully. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back in just a minute with your calls.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls today about setting boundaries on our show titled No Thank You. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Veronica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey, Veronica. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us today?
Yes, I have a sister who is single, and for many years lived a long distance away, but has recently moved nearby, and I'm having trouble setting boundaries with her. I feel like she's very manipulative, and so when for example she wants to borrow one of our vehicles, and my husband, you know, explains why he doesn't want to lend it to her, then she'll go through one of my teen or young adult children and try to get what she wants that way. And I feel like, you know, first of all, they're it puts them in an impossible situation because they see her as kind of an authority figure. And, I think she's always struggled socially. I think there's some, you know, personality disorder at play, but you know, at the end of the day, it just doesn't seem like she respects us.
Yeah. Okay. So, and have you talked to her about that, her attempts to do an end run around you with the kids at all? Have you, you know, addressed that issue directly with her?
No.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of vagueness in how you're handling your sister. Your husband's trying to explain. You haven't really discussed the end run thing with her. Just as our scripture says, right, in Mark 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more is from the evil one. You have to sit down with her and say, look, you know, for legal reasons and everything else, we cannot loan you our cars. And these are, and don't go and ask our children.
Or you know,
very direct.
Or ask us. You know, you, if you, if you're okay with her, you borrowing the cars sometimes, then at least she's going to ask you directly.
You
right?
or your spouse, but not your children. It's got to be specific.
So it's a two-front thing answer here. The first one is you need to talk to her directly about it. Not wait till it happens, but like go to her and say, hey, listen, this has come up a couple of times. Okay. Now, if you're not allowed, if you're not willing to let her borrow them at all, then just come out and say that. If you're willing to let her borrow them sometimes, but she has to ask you, say that. But talk to her directly and be clear about what the expectation is. Tell the kid. And the second conversation you want to have is with the kids and say, listen, you know, your aunt will sometimes ask you if she can use our cars or she can do this or that. I don't want you to feel in the position where you have to say yes or no about that. All I want you to do is say, my parents said that that you have to ask them.
Right.
That's all. Then they're out of it, right? They're not in a bad position. She's not an authority figure. They have no authority over this anyway. So this gives them permission to just punt, you know, right? And so you just tell them, look, if your aunt asks you for anything, you don't have to answer it. Just tell them to talk. Tell her to talk to me.
And it's important for them to understand that this is not just about the cars. It's about anything that would cause you concern. It's fine, Veronica, for you to say, hey, she's my sister, but the only authority figures that you guys answer to are me and your dad. Anybody else asks you for something that you don't know you have permission to do, you refer them to us, and that's it. And that mm-hmm. includes family members.
But, you know, this is where the failure to be as clear about your yes and no leaves that wiggle room for the devil to get in there and cause resentment, confusion, discord.
Possibly even danger.
Yeah, so, you know, confront her directly, charitably, and just explain the situation and say, you know, this is what we expect. You know, whether you don't want her to have the cars at all, tell her that. If it's otherwise, you know, you can tell her what she has to come to you.
I will say this, though, Veronica.
But, and then give the kids that permission as well.
Give the kids the permission as well. But I will say this. When you entered the conversation and said, my husband tried to explain it, often, and we all use this speech pattern, often we're asking the other person's permission to set a limit. We want them to okay it, agree with it, and be happy about it. When we're not giving in to somebody, there's very little chance that that's going to happen. And so we waver too much and leave too much room for them to try to do an end run around us.
But keep in mind, okay, you know, what we've been saying all through the whole program, because a lot of times, you know, we feel guilty saying no because it's based more on feelings or how the other person's going to get upset, rather than whether that yes or no is ultimately ordered to my good, their good, or the good of our relationship. You know, if you're clear about, you know, your yes or no being, you know, in your sister's best interest, in your best interest, the best interest of your relationship, then you're clear.
And you should be praying about this with your husband so mm-hmm. that you both are really clear on what is truly working for your sister's good and your family's good and what is not.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. We don't have time to take the call, but I can respond to the question in the minute and a half that we've got. Anne from Pennsylvania said that she has a savings account for each of her grandkids, 17 and younger, and she recently discovered that the father withdrew money from $1,000 each from the kids' accounts to buy a car. That's obviously not okay, because it's not in keeping with the intention of you giving that money. My suggestion to you would be to close those accounts and put them in the kids' and your name only. Leave the dad out of it.
Or in your own name, and then you dispense it when they come to you and ask for it. But mom and dad's names should not be on those accounts.
You may not get your son to actually give the money back, but to prevent further abuse of those accounts, I think you need to take him out of his name. All right, thanks for the call. I'm sorry I couldn't take you directly, but we've only got about 20 seconds here. That's all we've got time for, as I just mentioned, but we've been talking with you about setting boundaries. And if you are looking for more support in how to set boundaries, when to set boundaries, what to do when people don't respect those boundaries. You can check out my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's all about setting charitable boundaries that leave the door open for healthy relationships, but close the door to the drama and the manipulation. That's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. If you feel like you need more personal guidance on setting those healthy, godly boundaries, you can reach out to us to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you learn how to live a more abundant marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed day, everyone.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.